All right, let's turn to Revelation 22 tonight, and we'll pick up where we left off last week, which is in verse 6, and I want to just read a few verses. Probably won't get too far down through here, but you never know. So let's start in verse 6, and you follow along as I read. All right, chapter 22 and verse 6. Now, while you're getting ready there, right after communion on Sunday night, I want to have a meeting with anyone interested in the Israel trip. And I think probably be best if we went across the hall to Baker. That way we won't have folks that want to hang around for a second service. You know, we won't be disturbing their fellowship, all right? So we'll go across the hall after communion, and I am certainly aware of the time. It doesn't mean anything to me, but I'm aware of the time, and try to wrap up here so we don't take too long, all right? So that'll be Sunday night. All right, let's begin in verse 6. All right, verse 6, it says, "And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God." In other words, don't worship me. Don't bow to me. You bow to God. All right, verse 10. "And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." All right, now I'm going to stop right there. And if we need to read more, I will read it when we get to it. But let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to bless and help us, and then we'll look at these few verses. Father, we ask now you to bless as we open your precious word once again. I pray that you will help me as I speak. I pray you'll help our folks as they listen. And Father, I just ask you to allow the Holy Spirit of God to be the teacher tonight. May we leave here having learned something, seen something that will strengthen us and help us in our Christian walk. And Father, we thank you for all these great promises and these things that you showed to John and that he wrote down in this book. And so I pray that you'll bless all these things to our hearts and to our lives. So guide and direct us now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, the Apostle John is, he's come to the end of the Revelation. And as we can see, the end of the New Testament. Now, we have an Old Testament book that introduces us to prophecy, and that is the book of Daniel. And Daniel was told to seal the book. When he finished writing his book, the Holy Spirit of God told Daniel to seal the book. And he said that in the last days, knowledge would increase and people would be running here and there and to and fro, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's where we are, all right? Knowledge has certainly increased. We have gone from the Wright brothers sitting on a glider and it being pushed off of a sand dune to a spacecraft that goes up and then comes back down again and is reusable. And the boosters on the thing that come and land somewhere, wherever it's designated for them to land. I don't know if you've ever been down to Cape Kennedy to watch Elon Musk's rockets go up. I've had the privilege of watching a couple of them now when I'm down there with Lauren and Ava and what's his name, and we get an opportunity to watch them when I see their, it's only about an hour from their house, and so when I see on the news that one of them is going up or read about it in the paper, I try to go over and watch it. And we got to watch one of the heavy rockets, one of the big boys, go up, and then you can watch and see the boosters as they come back to Cape Kennedy, and one will land, and then a second one will land, and about the time that one hits the ground over there, you get the sonic blast from it. And then as soon as the second one hits, you get the blast from that one. It's just unbelievable. And you, and on this one particular last time we were down there, last summer, and saw it, you could watch it as it was going north. It was going up the seaboard, and you could sit there and watch it for about 20 minutes before it got out of sight. It was amazing. I sat there and just filmed the whole thing. Just phenomenal. So certainly, we have come a long way. I saw Musk on the news Monday, I think it was, and he had on a shirt that said, "Occupy Mars." Occupy Mars. Can you imagine? If he asked for volunteers, I certainly am not going. No, sir. No, I'm good with Earth. I'll just stick right here. And, of course, I'm looking forward to heaven, but I'm going to stay on the Earth as long as the Lord will let me. But how far we have come. And Daniel was told to seal the book, seal it. But then in the last days, he said that knowledge would increase and men would be running to and fro upon the Earth. And, boy, we are certainly there, aren't we? We're certainly there. And, you know, I've told you this before, but some of my favorite authors, some of my favorite preachers and commentators back through the years, like Spurgeon, for example. I've got just about every sermon that Spurgeon ever preached. And then G. Campbell Morgan. G. Campbell Morgan is my favorite commentator or my favorite expositor, and some of these guys that lived in the 1800s and early 1900s or late 1900s, they did not preach on the second coming of Christ. They did not preach on it, and the reason they didn't is because we didn't know. We didn't know the things that we know today. All right. I mean, just the very thought of the Lord coming back and all that's going to happen, it was foreign to those fellas. Most of them were post-millennialist. They believed that the Lord was going to come back after the millennium. They were fundamental right down the line, but they were somewhat confused on the subject of the second coming of Christ. Why? Well, because the book was sealed for so long. And in the end times, with the increase in knowledge and folks learning, we now know things that it was impossible for us to know previously in the last generation. All right, we have instant everything today. You can go on the internet, and you can read newspapers in English from just about every country on the planet. It's just phenomenal what is available to us today. And so here, though, we are told that the words that were spoken and the things that were said were God's last words to man, and those words are faithful and true. In other words, you can trust them. You can count on them. What God says is going to happen in this book is going to happen. And that's just all there is to it. The Bible is the Word of God, and it's going to happen. So John now gives us his final thoughts and his final words. Now, you know, folks, final words, you know, whenever we're about to say them, you listen, don't you? All right? You know, people will ask, well, what was his final words? Well, what was the last thing he said? You know, they want to know that. And final words are generally pretty important. And so I think that as we close up the book of the Revelation, the things that John has to say are indeed pretty important. Now, our attention from here to the end of the chapter is going to focus, it's going to be drawn to three things in this final section. And we are, number one, drawn to the faithful Word of God. Our attention is directed by John through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to this truth, and that is the faithful Word of God. That's going to be found in verse 6 down through verse 10. That's why I read these verses. That is the first thing that we're going to see John conclude the book with. The faithfulness of the Word of God. Now, look at verse 6 again. These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. All right, now that's at the end of the book. The things which shortly shall be done. Now, hold your place here and go back to the beginning of the book and notice how John starts the book. He's going to start the book the same way he finishes the book. If you look at chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, the revelation. It is one revelation. It's not revelations. It's revelation, one revelation. And so the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, the him is John, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. So John begins the book the same way that he ends the book, by showing us the things which must shortly come to pass, must shortly be done. So we have the faithful Word of God. Now let me point out a couple of things here about these verses. First, I want you to understand, let's go back in our minds now to the book of Genesis for a moment. All right, we have the last book of the Bible, Revelation, but I want you to go back in your mind now to the first book, and I want you to remember how sin entered into this world. Now, you'll remember the devil was booted out of heaven because he exalted himself to be God. He thought he ought to be God. And so he did his best to get rid of God. And God said, no, it doesn't work that way, Lucifer. I'm not leaving. You are. And he was booted out and fell to the earth. Now, sin then entered into this world when that Satan, that devil, that wicked one that we read about so much in this last book of the Bible, but sin started when Satan questioned the Word of God. You remember that? He came to Eve and said to her that that tree that was in the midst of the garden was a good thing. And he said to her, you need to go over and eat from that. And Eve said, no. God said that we weren't supposed to eat of that. She added a little bit, you know, she kind of fudged it a little bit. I'm going to let that go for now. But she kind of fudged it a little bit, added to it, you know. And she said, no, God said, we can't eat of it, neither can we touch it. Now, God didn't say that, all right. But he did say, don't eat of it. And so the devil then questioned Eve and said, well, you're not going to surely die. You won't surely die. God just knows that in the day that you eat of that tree and the fruit of that tree, then you're going to be like him. You're going to know good from evil. Now, before sin, all they knew was good. But now, because of her disobeying the word of the Lord, and that's what it was. It was the word of the Lord that she disobeyed. And so when the devil questioned the word of God, and when Eve, entertaining that question, was led to doubt both the accuracy and the authority of God's word, well, that's when it all began. And God now in verse 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, God now at the end of the Bible begins his conclusion of the scriptures with a fresh emphasis upon both the authority of the Word of God and the accuracy of the Word of God. God says what he means. Amen. All right, there's no mincing. You don't need to sit down and debate about what the Word of God says. Just read it and believe it. Trust it. I've counseled with a pastor just the other day, and he said that there were a group of people in his church that were taking the church away from him, and so they were going to have a business meeting soon, and they're going to vote on some things and change their constitution to meet their wants and wishes. And I told him, I said, man, you never have a business meeting to vote on what God has already said in his word. And he said, say that again so I can write it down. So I said it again, and he wrote it down. Now, I hope he uses it. Matter of fact, bless his heart, he's in that meeting probably right now. But he said, that's exactly what I'm going to use. You don't have a business meeting to vote on what God has already said in his word. And you shouldn't. You should never do that. So anyway, here we are concluding the book. And just as the book started, with the devil questioning the accuracy and the authority of God's word, God now sums up his Bible and the book of the Revelation, and his conclusion of the scriptures is a fresh emphasis on both of these things, the accuracy as well as the authority of the word of God. All right, now let's look at verse 6 at the accuracy of the word of God. Look at verse 6. It says, "And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true." They are faithful and true. The angel quickly points out that these great truths of the apocalypse, of the unveiling of the revelation, will indeed all come to pass. They're going to happen, folks, just as sure as you're sitting there, just as sure as I'm standing here. What God says is going to happen in this book is indeed going to happen. It's not going to fluctuate one way or the other. It's going to happen. I mean, we're looking at our world today, and you can see our world in the Laodicean church, the final church of the church age. Laodicea means ruled by the people. Isn't that ironic? Ruled by the people. That's what this pastor is dealing with tonight. He's got a bunch of 20 and 30 somethings that are saying they don't like the way the church is. They want to change it, and they want to change the Bible, and they want to change the music. And the pastor says, "No, I'm not doing that." And so they said, "Well, we'll just." Our Constitution says that we can call a business meeting. And so they did. And probably he's going to get voted out tonight, because he's not going to buckle. He is not going to buckle, bless his heart. And I've told him, "Hey, listen, God will put you somewhere else if you do. If this happens, the Lord will put you somewhere else. And it'll be better than what you got now. I'll promise you that." My goodness, anything would be better than that, wouldn't it? But the accuracy of the word, the angel quickly points out it's going to happen. At his return, all right, go back to chapter 19 for just a minute. You remember the words there in chapter 19? If you will look, please, at verse 11. Verse 11. And in verse 11, we read these words, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called," what? Faithful and true. And now, here we are wrapping up the revelation, and John, the angel says to John that these sayings are faithful and true. Isn't that interesting, folks? I mean, the word of God is called the same as is the Son of God. And we've learned that the Son of God is the word of God. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." He is the faithful and true. And now here we have the angel describing the word of God as faithful and true. Now, what an amazing thing. In other words, Jesus is the Word. He is the living Word. And the Bible is the written word. And you can't separate the two. You can't divide them. They are one and the same. And so the word of God is accurate. And so it will be fulfilled. Folks, I don't know if you remember back 12 years ago when we were studying the prophecies out of the Old Testament that had to do with the second coming of Christ, and I pointed out to you that all of those prophecies and we looked at them. I mean, we looked at them. All of those prophecies that had to do with our Lord's first coming, His first advent. And I pointed out to you that all of those were fulfilled exactly as they were told. Exactly. And if you remember, we were all kind of just, wow. I mean, we were all just kind of sitting here going to ourselves, mercy, that's amazing. And then I made this point. I said, if you remember, that in the Old Testament, for every one prophecy there is about the first coming of Christ, all right, his birth, the virgin birth, Bethlehem, Judea, the tribe, everything, all of it. His first advent from birth to ascension, all of that prophesied. And we looked at all those prophecies. But then here's what I told you. I said, for every one prophecy about his first advent in the Old Testament, there are three prophecies that have to do with his second coming, his second advent. Wow. Did the magnitude of that hit you? All right, now think about it, folks. If all of those prophecies, and we took weeks looking at these, if all of those prophecies about his first advent came true just as they were written in the Old Testament scriptures, they all came true. Why would anybody doubt that the prophecies about the second coming are not going to come true just like the old ones? Huh? I mean, why would we think anything different? We shouldn't, that's for sure. And there is no doubt that the Bible speaks all through the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. The Bible speaks about redemption and how that redemption was accomplished through God sending His only begotten Son. Two advents. And He came the first time as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But He's coming the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, with power in His hands, with authority in His hands. So, man, I mean, Jesus, He is the living Word, and the Bible is the written Word. And I really do believe that that this statement that is made here in verse 6, I really do believe that this is much wider than just the book of the Revelation. I think it embraces the whole of the Bible, the whole of Scripture. All of it is faithful and true. Every word is of the Bible is faithful and true. Now, folks, think about this. And believe me, they've looked. They've searched. But if you could go back in the Old Testament and find even one prophecy that was announced in the Old Testament scriptures, Genesis through Malachi. All right, the Italian prophet Malachi. All right, if you could go back in the Old Testament and find even one, don't you think that Time Magazine would have had it on the front cover? Don't you think that CBS would have started their evening broadcast announcing that the Bible was wrong? Oh, I think they would. And the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Baltimore Sun and all the rest of them. But they have never run that story because they cannot find fault in what thus saith the Lord. That's awesome, isn't it? I think it is. I think it is. Well, the Bible is faithful and true. And the Word of God is accurate and it will be fulfilled. Now, men can scoff at it and they can deride it and they can deny it and they can do whatever else they want to do. But God's Word is faithful and true, just like the Lord Jesus is faithful and true. All right, so that's the accuracy of the word. But now, secondly, look at verse 7, and let's notice the authority of the word. You see, in verse 7, the Lord Jesus himself speaks. The angel is not speaking in verse 7. Notice this. The angel does not say, "Behold, I come quickly." All right? He does not say that. You say, well, who's speaking there? The Lord Jesus. "Behold, I, the Lord Jesus, come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." So the Lord Jesus himself is speaking here. And he says very dogmatically, very plainly, very clearly, he says, "I come quickly." Almost all, if not all, of the references in the Bible to in the New Testament that have to do with the second coming are followed by an admonition to holy living. Have you realized that? Have you recognized that? All right, let me show you what I mean. Let's go back to Titus, the book of Titus. Titus is a great little book. All right, the book of Titus, and Titus it's one of those epistles that when you read it, you go, I didn't even know that was there. Yeah, it's there, and it's got a lot of good stuff in it. All right, look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, and notice here that Paul writes to Titus about the Lord's return, about the second coming. All right, look at verse 11. Verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." In other words, folks, contrary to what the post-millennialists say, we're not in the millennium yet. We're not in the millennium yet. We're in the present world. And it's been the present world since the ascension. All right? Present world. Now, read on. He said, looking for that blessed hope and the what? Glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that's a direct statement telling us that the Lord Jesus is coming back, is it not? His glorious appearance. Now watch verse 14. Who gave himself for us, here's the admonition now to godly living, in light of the fact that our Savior is coming again, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So you have an admonition here. Hey, you better live right. You better live right. Why? Because the Lord's coming. And it could be today. I had a fellow in my church when I was at Dixie. And, he was a character. He was one of these guys that just sat around and thought all the time. You know? And he'd write down his thoughts. And then he'd come and try to stump me. Which he did several times. And but anyway, he would write down these questions and all that and try to you know get us to get me to get into an argument with him. And I would just tell him, I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, I'm not going to do that. But here was one thing he always said. He said, preacher, I think that's telling us that we ought to keep short accounts with God. I said, oh, yeah, I never thought of it that way, but that's a good way to say it. Just keep short accounts with God. You know, don't let things pile up. Keep short accounts because the Lord could come back at any moment. And you don't want to have to say, wait a minute, Lord, and then start piling all your garbage on top of your back. Wait a minute, Lord, I'm not quite ready yet. Wait a minute, got to get all this up here. No. Keep short accounts with God. I mean, just be ready for him to come. All right, let me give you one more. Go to 1 John. All right, let's go over to 1 John. This one you know, I'm sure you already know this. All right, 1 John. It's right before 2 John. Chapter 3. All right, look at verse 1 here. It says, behold. Behold. Now, when you have a behold in the Bible, that means stop and really give a long gander at this. All right? Just really look this up and down. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wow. Behold that. Think about that. What manner of love. I have told you this before, I know, because I've preached on it a couple of times. That little what manner of is a Jewish colloquialism. It's a colloquialism only used by them. And when we say what manner of, we're talking about what kind of, you know? If I said, what manner of behavior is that? What I mean is, what kind of behavior is that, right? But the Jews meant it this way. Where does it come from? Now look at it in that light. Where does love come from like this? Where does it come from? Behold, where does the love that the Father has bestowed upon us, where does that come from? Well, it certainly doesn't come from around here, does it? Not on your life. No. You know, our love is conditional. As long as you're good to me, I love you. But boy, you step on my toe and you better get ready. I'll tear you up. You know, that's love from around here. But the love that God has for us, it's not from around here. Must be from heaven. Pure love, you know. Well, it's not over. Look at it. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Now watch. Beloved, now. Now what's that mean? Right now. All right. January the 11th, 2023. Now, right now. Are we the sons of God? How many of you are a child of God? Raise your hand. I am too. Yeah. You're a child of God, aren't you? You're one of his children. Okay? Now are we the sons of God, comma. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Well, we know what we are now. We're fallible. We're mortal. We're all in the process of, I hate to say this, but it's true, dying. Some a little quicker than others. All right? We're all mortal. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we, what's the next word? No. How do we know that? It's in the book. Because God tells us. It's right here in the book. And he says, but we know that when he shall appear. Now, what's that? That's the rapture. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All right, now look at verse 3. Here's your admonition. And every man and woman, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he, Christ, is pure. So there's your admonition to godly living. Hey, Jesus is coming again. You better live right. You better live right. John went on to talk about folks that are ashamed at his coming. Ashamed at his coming. In other words, when that trumpet sounds, they go, oh no. They're going up, but embarrassed. They're going up because they're saved. But they haven't been keeping short accounts with God. Trumpet sounds, oh no. Actually, the Greek word there means to cower. To cower. It's like when you caught your child doing something. What are you doing? Nothing. And man, they're guilty of sin, aren't they? And what do? They give you that old hangdog look, you know? All of a sudden the head goes down and the shoulders go down. They get small. They don't want you to know what they've done. So let's keep short accounts with God. That's the point. All right, so we the faithfulness of the word, and we've seen the accuracy of the word. We have seen, secondly, the authority of the word. And I got one more, but we'll do it next week. All right? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. Help us to be thinking about the return of our Savior, the one that's faithful and true. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to understand the need to keep short accounts with you. I ask you to seal this in our hearts. Help us to go home and read and reread and study this. And Father, may the word of God make a difference in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.